sermon for today. I'd like to gather in a circle, be in prayer for Brother Chris, Baby Lake, and Brother Connie. Let's be in prayer for these. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Lord, we lift up Baby Lake and Brother Chris Stevens and Brother Connie. Dear Lord, each of them are facing a different situation, dear Lord. We pray for peace in their lives. But Lord, we don't know what the plans are for all these three. But dear Lord, as your word says, your purpose will prevail. Dear Lord, I just pray that you may, dear Lord, keep their hand on them. Dear Lord, I pray that us as fellow believers, dear Lord, that we may be the hands and feet of you, dear Lord, that we may love them, support them, be in prayer for them. And dear Lord, that we may act as the body of Christ for all these. And dear Lord, we just pray for healing according to your will for each of them. And dear Lord, I just pray for your words of wisdom for me to speak this morning, dear Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If you have your Bible today, if you don't mind, turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 8. Book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 23. Before we dig into this passage of Scripture, it's a passage of Scripture that everyone has heard of before in the past, very popular, but it has a whole lot of meaning just in a few short verses. Before we dive into it, I just want to say that we serve an amazing God. Amen. We truly do. Matter of fact, Brother Jeff, he called me last Saturday and asked if I would be willing to fill in for this morning. And after I got off the phone with him and told him yes, I got to thinking, you know, when was the last time I actually did do a Sunday morning sermon? And as I kind of went through all my past sermon notes, I had some dating all the way back to 2010. Did not realize it had been that long. It's just amazing how time passes. And so, as I began to try to brainstorm in prayer of what to speak about this morning, you know, I had several different scriptures that kind of running through my head. Couldn't necessarily just pinpoint just one particular thing that I felt the Lord wanted me to speak about today. Until about, I would say, this past Monday. If y'all knew what the weather was doing Monday, we had, you know, pretty bad thunderstorms to kind of blow through. And I was sitting there that night, just trying to find the scripture that I wanted to talk about this morning. And as I heard the thunderstorms and everything blowing through, the one word that spoke to me was the word plan. And so then it began. And so as I thought about that word plan, and I thought about the storms blowing through, we oftentimes when we know a storm is coming, we like to plan ahead. If anything taught us a few years ago from Hurricane Laura, if you remember, there was a mass influx of generators being involved because people were unprepared. And so we realized that it can be chaos in the midst of a storm. And so as I began to go through this passage of scripture and started getting more meaning from it, because there's always a different take on each scripture that you can get each time you read it. And so that following Tuesday, was at work, was over around Minden, met with the contractor, discussing pipeline crossing, and in the distance you can see a storm brewing up. So we get out there, we get on the side by side, we drive a few miles back up in the woods. Well, you can feel that coolness of the air coming. I knew what was coming. And so we're trying to rush around, trying to get done. Well, needless to say, we didn't make it. We had to drive back in the pouring rain. And we didn't have a drive on us once we got back to the truck. And all I could do was just kind of sit and smile and just think, Lord, I believe I got the message now. It was the word's plan. So in verse 23, matter of fact, we'll go through the whole passage here. Starting in verse 23, it says, "Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him.'" So going back to verse 23, we read that the disciples followed him. So the first step in following God's plan is to simply just follow him, or to deny oneself. As Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" So we simply have to deny self and follow him. So going on in verse 24, "Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat." And so as I kind of did some research, during this time they're on the Sea of Galilee. Well, the commentary describes the Sea of Galilee being relatively small. But as I read the description, it doesn't seem necessarily small to me. 13 miles long, 7 miles wide, but it is 150 feet deep, and the shoreline is 680 feet below sea level. And so the Sea of Galilee, the topography of it is situated in a basin surrounded by mountains that is particularly susceptible to sudden violent storms. Cool air from the Mediterranean is drawn down through the narrow passes and clashes with the hot, humid air lying over the lake. So we obviously know cool mixed with hot air will create a turbulent storm. And it even describes that waves could get as high as 20 feet. So in my mind, I began to imagine what that must have been like for the disciples, how much of a scary scene that could have been, seeing waves potentially be that high. And so, as I said before, in preparation for an incoming storm, our first initial action is to plan. With no plan equals chaos. So we've all heard the phrase, expect the unexpected. Disciples, they didn't expect the unexpected in this time. We obviously know the disciples, they didn't do it intentionally to be on the lake with the storm. It just come up all of a sudden without warning. And so I got to thinking about that, expect the unexpected. Here just a few weeks ago, me and Bridget were at her aunt and uncle's place on the lake. This was on a Sunday afternoon, just enjoying lunch. And we drove a motorcycle up there, and as we got ready to leave, went to turn the ignition on. Well, the whole ignition switch came out. So, anyways, so we had to start back from square one, trying to figure out how we're going to get home. And during the midst of this, yet again, it looks like a storm is brewing up, getting ready. But during that time, I'll be honest, we're all human. My first initial reaction was panicking, trying to get home before the storm got there. Because if anybody's ever been in a storm on a motorcycle, it is no fun. We've all, me and Dad, Mom and Dad, we've all been in a storm before. And it is no fun, to say the least. And so, initial reaction was panicking. And also mixed in with a little frustration. And all I could think about was all we simply wanted to do was get to church. We didn't make it to church in time. But the Lord had other plans, because here he is. He revealed this through the scripture of how we don't need to panic, how we do not need to fear. And so he taught me a lesson through scripture that I could relate to y'all today. So it's amazing how the Lord turns things around to accomplish his will. And so as we read in the part 2 of verse 24, it says, "But Jesus was sleeping." So many people have gave their interpretation the fact that Jesus was human. He truly was. He was sleeping from all the work that he had conducted. And so with him being human just like us, facing temptation, it also should put us at peace knowing that, and that he was at peace during the storm. So the second step, first step was to follow him. Second step is to trust in him. Isaiah 12:2 says, "Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself, is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation." And so in verse 25, the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." The disciples panicked, even though they had witnessed many miracles beforehand, prior to this. But you know, during those turbulent storms of our lives, Satan can attack our beliefs. He is very sly. And he can also distort God's plans for us. If you remember in the book of Daniel, chapter 6, when Daniel was in the den of lions, the administrators of satraps wanted Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. And so they issued a decree that no one could pray to anyone except to King Darius. But what's the first thing that Daniel did when he found out about that decree? He did not change his ways. He went back and prayed 3 times a day like he always did, knowing that if he was caught, it was going to be trouble. But he did sway. He trusted in the Lord. And in that case, the Lord prevailed and was glorified, because he was glorified through all the nations. King Darius gave his decree. Glory be to the Lord through all the nations. And Satan was defeated because, as I said, Daniel's trust in the Lord. I will say, we serve an amazing God, and he is real. But at the same time, Satan is real too. I'll say this past week has been a difficult week. Probably one of the hardest weeks of trying to prepare a sermon. And Satan, like I said, is sly, because he will use any little bit of free time take away from the study of His Word. And He will cloud your thoughts with the things of the world. And He tried to do that on numerous occasions this week. But as Proverbs 19:21 says, the Lord's purpose will prevail. And so in verse 26, He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then He got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And so I'd like to share with you an article that I came across entitled "Preparing for Rain." This lady, she states, "My husband and I are in the process of buying a home. We've been renting for a number of years and have prayed about a new home many times. I've often talked about the three things I really wanted in a new home and how I only intend to move one more time. The ironic thing is that I'm only getting one of the three in the house we are buying, but I'm beyond excited. The one thing I'm getting in our new house is that it is out in the country, off the main street through town. The view from what will be our back deck is amazing, and I am looking forward to watching many sunrises and sunsets from our front porch and back deck. The new house is also literally right across the street from one of our two churches. We are both very excited and humbled to be able to be right in the community to which we know God has called us. However, despite how excited I am about this house and the knowledge that while the closing date has not been officially set, it will be within the next 2 to 4 weeks, I have not even begun to think about packing. The question comes up, why? I was driving to church alone the other night for Bible study. Often I will have music playing and singing at the top of my lungs. Just as often I will have no music on as I listen to the car wind chimes I have hanging from the rearview mirror and talk to God. That is what I was doing Monday night. I was pondering why I had not begun to pack yet. It occurred to me that I am afraid. I'm afraid of this deal falling through. I want this so much, I almost feel as though it is too good to be true. I've had my fair share of disappointments in life, and I guess in a way, I have been preparing for yet another one. As I was pondering these feelings, I distinctly heard God say, prepare for rain. And so, I went back to scripture in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. Oftentimes, as that lady, she feared because it seemed too good to be true. But everything that we commit to the Lord, and if it's within His will, it will happen. And in verse 27, we read, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So the third step, so we have follow Him, trust Him. Third step in following God's plan is to truly know Him. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so here we see the disciples ask this question, what kind of man is this? Or if you go over to Mark, the question is translated, who is this? And so the disciples asked the question, who is this, to Jesus? And we should be asking, who are we to Jesus? Matthew 7:21 through 23 says, talking about fruits of labor, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name, drive out demons, and in your name, perform many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So the three steps in following God's plan, follow Him, trust Him, know Him. So the word plan. We plan so many things in our lives. We plan our day. We may plan special events in our lives. Seems like every day we have a plan set for something. Even as a child, many of y'all probably were asked the question, what do you want to be when you grow up? And of course, as a child, we all have a broad imagination. We all have these big dreams. And then once we become a teenager, the next question, what are your plans after high school? And, you know, it seems like it becomes more difficult because it's reality. And so, you know, I know for me, where I'm at today, I would have never dreamed in a million years where I'd be at. We can testify that the Lord has great plans for us if we just do His will, if we follow His will. And we even are asked this question a lot of times during our career. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? They're all difficult questions. All difficult questions that we have to answer at some point. A comedian named Paul Harris, he talks about his situation, how he became a comedian. And he said when he got out of high school, he became a horseshoer. And he went to this particular farm to shoe these draft horses. Well, draft horses are about twice the size of a normal horse. And so he pulls up there, and he said, you know, at that point in time in his life, he was at a crossroads, whether to choose comedy or continue to be horseshoers. And so he said he felt like the first time as a young adult, the Lord was speaking to him. Because he said, and right after he asked that question, he said he heard a bunch of commotion behind the man's barn. And as he went out there and kind of assessed the situation, the man was laying flat on his back, blood trickling down his forehead. And obviously the question is, what happened? And the farmer said, well, this horse that I was going to have you to shoot, I had it chained to this live oak tree. Well, next thing you know, you see that horse dragging that live oak tree. True story now. Horse dragging that live oak tree away. And he said, you're going to shoot him. And he told him, he said, sir, no, I'm not. I'm a comedian. So the Lord has a way of speaking to us very clear if we follow His word. One of the things that stood out here a couple of weeks ago, me and DJ got to meet the new CEO of our company. Our current CEO is getting ready to retire here in about 2 or 3 weeks. And one of the questions that were asked to him, just to kind of paraphrase, is, what was your plan in becoming CEO? And what he said kind of stood out to me. He stated he didn't have a plan, that it all happened by happenstance. And to interpret that is, it was the Lord's will. And so, how can we be purposeful in God's plan? Love Him, serve Him, glorify Him. Daniel chapter 6, as we see, is a perfect example of what persistence in your devotion, obedience, and prayer can do, fulfilling God's purpose for your life. The question is, are we willing to seek the Lord's will for our lives, even if it means our personal plans don't match up? There was a story about two farmers who desperately needed rain. Both of them prayed for rain, but only one of them went out and prepared his fields to receive it. Which one do you think trusted God to send the rain? Which one are you? God will send the rain when He's ready. You need to prepare your field to receive it. So God calls us to prepare our hearts before Him to be instrumental in His purpose for our lives. James 4:8 says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And so, as I thought about that particular passage of Scripture in James 4:8, come near to God, and He will come near to you, I wrote down this question. And honestly, I convicted my own self. It says, if you could write down the amount of time you spend in your day doing various things on a typical day, can you honestly say that your heart is prepared through prayer and studying of the Word? Does it seem like you plan your life around the gospel or the gospel around your life? If we plan on treating our relationship with the Lord out of convenience, we will never have a true relationship due to allowing the world's desires to take our free time. There was an American composer, artist, Mediterranean. He had several different roles by the name of Leonard Bernstein. He had this famous quote. It says, "To achieve great things, two things are needed. A plan and not quite enough time." And as I sat and reflected on that, I thought, you know, he was correct in his quote. But as you read his about his life, just what little research I did on him, found out that he did not live a godly lifestyle. He had the right idea, but just not in the right direction. We all need a plan. Nothing against having a plan, but if it's against the Lord's will, it's against the Lord's will. Not quite enough time. We can all say that life is short. Life is tough. It truly is. That should make us all the while want to prepare our hearts to serve and glorify the Lord. And what is our end goal one day? As Paul states, we all want to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And during the storms of life, we need to remember the Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. "Be still and know that I am God." What are our plans today after we leave here? Is it to serve and glorify Him, or is it to serve and glorify ourselves? And so I encourage you to take time and prepare your hearts. God has called us all to do that. And I encourage you to come tonight, hear Brother Jeff preach the word tonight. I know loving and supporting our pastor is such a big deal. And so let us make plans to serve Him and not ourselves. Thank you all for coming. And love each and every one of you. Thank you for all the prayers. Let's close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Dear Lord, we all fail at times in our lives, dear Lord, where we seem like you're set aside from our personal desires. And dear Lord, we come to you asking you, dear Lord, that you may protect us, you may guide us, and that we may come with willing hearts to come to you in prayer, come to you in study your word, and not allow, dear Lord, the desires of the world to enter our hearts and take time away from you. Dear Lord, let us make plans to glorify and serve you, and just to simply thank you for all that you do. We just thank you for your Son, Jesus, for his ultimate sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Dear Lord, I pray that you may bless each and every one that's here today, dear Lord. May keep them safe. Dear Lord, we just love you.